Let us join in the spirit of prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the thoughts, the meditations, and reflections of this year congregation find acceptance and pleasure in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. A lady wrote to Reader's Digest some time ago, wanted to share an experience she had while taking a young girl from India to church with her. It was the 11-year-old girl's first exposure to Christian worship. The young lady's parents were traveling on business and let her stay with their U.S. friends. Well, the little Hindu girl decided on her own to go with the family to church one Sunday morning. When they returned home, her host's husband asked the young lady what she had thought of the service. "I don't understand why the West Coast isn't included too," the little girl replied. And when they inquired what she meant, the little girl said, "You know, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the whole East Coast." I think in some ways we can appreciate her confusion. There are some parts of our faith that are mysterious and difficult to understand or explain. And one of those things, certainly, is the Trinity. I find myself somewhat on the horns of a dilemma this morning. On the one hand, I feel like the parents of another girl who must have felt, for one day she asked her father, "Daddy, what is God like?" Well, the question sounded innocent enough, and it was certainly intended that way, until the father actually tried to put his answer into language which his five-year-old could understand. Finally, he gave that traditional answer for which fathers are infamous. "Go and ask your mother." So she did. She went to her mother with the same question. "Mommy, what is God like?" And the mother soon realized that she had no adequate answer for her daughter either. So she said, "Honey, why don't you ask your Sunday school teacher?" So the little girl went to her Sunday school teacher with the same question. "What is God like?" The teacher said simply, "Why don't you ask your mother or father?" The little girl thought to herself as she left, "If I had lived with God as long as my father and mother and Sunday school teacher, I think I would be able to tell a little girl what God is like." That's one of the horns of the dilemma. We're Christians. We have walked with God, many if not most of us, all of our lives. We should be able to tell people what God is like. And yet there's that other horn of the dilemma. St. Augustine was one of the most astute thinkers the Christian church has ever produced. Well, one day he was walking along the shore of the Mediterranean while pondering the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when he seemed to hear a voice saying, "Pick up one of the large seashells there by the shore." So Augustine dutifully picked it up. Then the voice directed, "Now pour the sea into the shell." And Augustine said, "Lord, I can't do that." And the voice answered, "Of course not. In the same way, how can your small, finite mind ever hold and understand the mystery of the eternal triune God?" That's the horns of the dilemma. Many Christian churches will be celebrating today what is known as the doctrine of the Trinity. It is indeed one of the prized truths of our Christian faith. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, as we've just sung. Now, I consider ourselves fortunate and privileged to be Trinitarians. But if I were challenged to explain adequately the doctrine of the Trinity to a five-year-old, or even 10-year-olds, 50-year-olds, it's going to be challenging. How can you pour the sea into a mere seashell? How do you explain the grandeur of God to minds as finite and limited as are ours? What does it mean to suggest that God is three persons? The word Trinity itself does not even appear in the Bible. Certainly, it's New Testament. Why then did the early church fathers formulate such a difficult and even confusing doctrine? It leads to all sorts of confusing and difficult questions. How could the babe in the manger control the movement of the stars, we ask? Was Jesus merely quoting the Psalms when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me, as he hung on the cross? These are questions for which I have no definitive answers. Nevertheless, I do want to affirm that the doctrine of the Trinity is at the heart of everything we believe as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. It says, first of all, that God is beyond the categories by which we human beings classify reality. J.B. Phillips published a book a number of years ago now, probably about 50 or 60 years ago, but it was simply entitled, Your God is Too Small. Indeed, for many of us, our God is too small. Just look around you. Truly, the heavens declare the glory of God. And that glory is awesome, breathtaking. Yesterday, I noticed an article online that stated that our Milky Way galaxy, which contains about 200 billion stars, is a distance of 200,000 light years across. Now, a single light year equals 5.9 trillion miles. I doubt that anyone can even fathom that. The distance light travels in a single year, much less 200,000 years. In the year 150 BC, a man named Hipparchus said that there were exactly 1,026 stars in the heavens. He had counted them all. 1,500 years later, Galileo, using his newly invented telescope, looked into the heavens and saw many times that number. Now we believe that there are 200 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy alone, and there are billions of galaxies besides ours. Can you really comprehend that? Not really, if I'm correct. Just how big is our universe? On February 23rd, 1987, an astronomer observed with his naked eye the explosion of a distant supernova blast so powerful that it released as much energy in a single second as our sun will release in 10 billion years. Couple that with the fact that this supernova exploded 170,000 years ago, you gain an inkling of how vast this universe really is. Can you imagine the magnitude of a God who is bigger than the universe? Is your God too small? Is your God big enough? There's also the curious truth that time is a dimension, along with the dimensions of space, that God created for us human beings. God actually exists outside of time. We may talk about forever, but for God, there is no time. As St. Augustine taught, God created time just as God created the three dimensions of space. There is no tomorrow or yesterday in God's heavenly realm. It is always now. Now again, there is something difficult to imagine because we are time-bound. But that doesn't make it any less real or true. In Los Angeles, there is a fossil museum besides the La Brea Tar Pits. At the entrance of the museum is a painting of a ribbon 85 feet long, representing the 5 billion years of our Earth's history. 1 inch equals 5 million years. That means that the history of the human race from the cavemen to the astronauts equals less than 1/2 inch. Which prompted one author to ask, what was God doing during the other 84 feet, 11 and a half inches? It is good to remember when we wonder why God doesn't keep our timetable that time means nothing to God. Time is a convenience by which we measure things, not God. Many of us indeed have a God who is too small. We want to create a God in our own image, but He is the divine other. He is beyond our imagining. When we say God in three persons, we are affirming that God is beyond the categories by which we human beings classify reality. And at the same time, we are affirming that God, who is beyond our limited understanding, visited this planet in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Now I realize that I'm going beyond what many people can accept, but this is the very heart of the Christian faith. We are not deists. We do not believe that God created the world, set it in motion, and then seemingly walked off and let history spin itself out. We believe that God visited our world in the life of a humble carpenter from Nazareth. Now, I did not say in the guise of a humble carpenter. Rather, I said in the life of that humble carpenter. Jesus was not God masquerading as a man. Rather, God emptied himself and became fully human when Christ Jesus was born in the manger of Bethlehem. Jesus cried real tears. He sweat real sweat. And he bled real blood. He was a genuine and real man. And yet God was involved in him, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, reconciling the world unto himself. Jesus was more than just another hero. Heroes will come and go. Curiously, there was a poll recently conducted by the Social Science Research Institute at the University of Tennessee surveying 1,077 people concerning how they felt about the deceased rock and roll star Elvis Presley. It found some rather amazing statistics. 20% of those interviewed believe that Elvis never disobeyed his parents. 7% believe that he never told a lie. Amazing. Many people among his followers don't believe he's even dead. Jesus was more than just another hero, more than just another great human being, more than some kind of phenomenal teacher, more than a dedicated martyr. He was all these things, of course, and yet even more. He was God, emptying himself and taking upon himself the sufferings of us all. Again, can you handle and understand that? There's a story, an old story, about the legendary Notre Dame football coach, Newt Rockne. Rockne once devised a play where both guards and the center would pull to block for the ball carrier. Well, obviously, that meant leaving a gaping hole in the center of the offensive line. And it was the quarterback's responsibility to hit the first lineman who would be coming through that hole. Well, Rockne was once explaining the play to a fellow coach when the coach stopped Rockne's explanation to ask how effective the play had actually turned out to be. Rockne admitted that he didn't know, because his quarterback had never been foolish enough to call that particular play. Likewise, it is beyond our comprehension that the God of billions of galaxies would humble himself to become one of us and take upon himself our weakness and frailty and our shame. But then again, God is God, and that is the nature of our God. God defies all the categories with which we are familiar. That is what the doctrine of the Trinity is saying to us. God is bigger and outside our categories. And yet this God humbled himself and walked among us. And finally, this same God who creates and sustains, who in Christ suffered and died, this God is available to every one of us here and now. That is what we mean by the Holy Spirit. God is present to us. God is available to us. God is our comforter, our sustainer, even our friend. There's an old story. Well, it's not actually that old, but it goes back to the time when Jimmy Carter was president. He was once visited by Prime Minister of Israel, Menachem Begin. It occurred during one of Begin's times, and he was in the Oval Office with Carter, and he noticed there three phones, one platinum, one red, and one gold. "Tell me, what are they really for?" Begin kidded the president. "Well, the platinum phone goes to Plains, Georgia, so I can keep track of my brother, Billy," Jimmy said. "The red phone is a hotline to Russia, so I can keep track of what's happening there. My gold phone is a direct line to God." Begin asked, "Well, how much does it cost to call God?" $10,000, Carter replied, "and it's worth every penny." Well, sometime later, Carter was visiting Begin in Israel, and he asked the same question. "What are your three phones for?" "Well, one's a hotline to Egypt, and another's a hotline to Parliament," Begin replied, "and a third is a hotline to God." "Well, how much does it cost you to call God from here?" Carter asked. 10 cents, Begin replied. "It's a local call." The somewhat confusing doctrine of the Trinity says the same God of a billion galaxies, who emptied himself and walked the face of this earth, is for us a local call. God is here. God is available to us. If we have a need, God is our provider. If we are heartbroken, God is our encourager. If we have wandered far from the path of righteousness, God is our Savior. Everything we ever need, we can find in God. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Let us pray. Holy God, God our Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we thank you that we know you not only as a God who created the world, but we know you as a God who came into the world and continues to come unto us even to this very day. For your wonderful and awesome presence, O God, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Continue to bless us, uphold us, and sustain us as we face these days, these challenging days, and help us to be faithful disciples of Jesus, your Son incarnate, our Lord and Savior, the one in whose name we pray. Amen.